What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest installment of the Iowa Clinic Men's Center podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. My name is Chris Williams, joined as always by Tommy Birch in a little bi-week installment of the podcast. So Tommy and I are both going to be taking a couple days off the next few days, Tommy. You deserve it, man. You've been all over the freaking place, dude.
Yeah, it's been busy. I've had some NBA preseason game stuff, Iowa State football, some hockey.
How do you keep all your beats straight?
I don't.
do you like call the Iowa Wild head coach Paul every once in a while mistakenly?
No. But you know, I've got to be very organized, and I wouldn't be remiss without thanking my lovely wife for all the little things she does to help.
Just so. 40 hours a week, right, buddy?
Yeah, only 40 hours.
You know, 40 hours a week.
It's now, one thing I do need to address, I'm thankful you're having me over today. I'm a little nervous. So I went to Texas, lovely.
Yep.
Survived.
Yep.
6th Street,
yep.
Whatever. Had some fun. Enjoyed the town. Enjoyed the game. Thought I had survived Ebola. Turns out I'm told, because, you know, Texas.
You don't have Ebola, do you?
No, I don't know. I'm told, you know, first off, Texas is like the hotbed of Ebola.
You're really making me nervous.
So then,
because you're breathing onto the headset right now.
I know. That's what I'm saying. And I was told, as I'm getting on my flight, I'm celebrating. I've survived. No Ebola. I beat you. I'm told 21 days. After 21 days, you get symptoms.
So why are you in my house?
Well, you know, I'm usually a glasses half full kind of guy. But I do feel like I probably don't have Ebola. But, you know, we'll find out.
This whole way to start off just angers me. I have a good way for you to find out. If you go get a darn physical Iowa Clinic Men's Center.
I'm planning on Thursday.
Did you get your appointment made with Doc Nicholson?
No, not yet. I thought I could walk in.
No, you can't just walk in. You've got to call and get an appointment.
I thought I could just walk in, take off my pants, cough, and just go through. Do the entire thing.
You're going to need a more in-depth physical than just that, though.
Yeah.
No, you really are. You're going to need to do some blood work.
Yeah.
Check all that stuff to make sure that you don't have anything going on.
All right. Yeah, I will call today.
The good news is, if you go on Thursday, you should go later in the day. And I'm not even kidding. I was going to promo this. The Iowa Clinic is having their annual trick-or-treat night at the Ankeny campus.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Over at 1410 Southwest Tradition Drive. Face painting, a giant game of Operation. You remember that game?
Oh, yeah.
So they've got a giant Operation board for the kids. And then
for the kids?
Well, and you.
Okay.
And you can trick or treat. Mm. That's 6 to 8 at the Iowa Clinic in Ankeny.
Awesome.
On Tradition Drive. Coming up. So, I mean, if you schedule it for later in the day, you can just hang out there and
there
trick
go.
Or treat that night.
Done. What time does this get going?
6 to 8.
Okay.
On Thursday.
So,
and then you can swing on over to Benchwarmers for the Cyclone Fanatic radio show.
You've got, like, my whole day planned out.
I've got your off week planned out for you.
So I go at, like, 4. It's probably going to take them a while to get to the bottom.
Because I was like you. I had not had a physical in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It probably took half hour to 45 minutes.
I'm guessing there's a lot of things they want to talk over with me, though.
No, it's not. It's not. You're making too much out of it, buddy.
All right.
You're making too much out of it. All right, let's talk football. Iowa State. What I wrote today, Tommy, in Monday Musings. I've read all of your work at the Des Moines Register. Fine job, as always. To me, like, there are a lot of things to be positive about from Saturday, but I feel like they just gave one away.
Yep.
I feel like and I know it's a cliche, and we're taught in journalism school to not use cliches, but it's true. This team doesn't know how to win.
Yeah.
And don't throw the Iowa game at me, because Iowa's not very good. You know, when you're stacking Iowa up compared to the teams that they're playing right now in the Big 12 Conference, they don't hold a candle to those teams. And that was a step in the right direction to see Sam Richardson lead him down that. It was a great win going to Kinnick Stadium against your rival. It always is. In Toledo, you saw progress because they were, you know, they scored 37 points. Kirk Holland, I thought, the encyclopedia outlined last week how the offense was much better than most people thought against Toledo. Offense was fantastic on Saturday night. But this is a team, and we've seen it so many times. And I can date back the last 3-4 years and give you so many examples, and I'm sure Paul Rhodes could too. They simply have trouble winning close football games. We saw it against Kansas State this year. Saturday night, to me, was a gut-wrenching loss.
Yeah,
am I making too much of that?
No, I don't think so. But having said all that, are you really that surprised that it happened?
No, but that's the game, Tommy. Yeah, that's the game when we have our season review podcast in, like, January, where we go, well, they just would have won that damn Texas game.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the game.
Or I look back to the K-State game, too.
This is true. This is true. But the Kansas State game, to me, I mean, look, Kansas State's one loss. They just won at Norman.
Yeah.
And that was fresh off of losing to North Dakota State.
Yeah.
This was a very – the fact that they scored 45 points, had a defensive touchdown, Sam Richardson throws for 345, you have a 100-yard rusher. If I tell you all that beforehand, I'd say there's like a 90% chance Iowa State wins that
game.
And
it's at Texas,
too. I feel like they gave one away.
Yeah, and there are two different things I go back to. One, everybody wants to talk about the 22 seconds that Texas used to march down the field and get into field goal position. The thing I keep coming back to is I'm really shocked that Paul Rhodes did not opt to go for two on that last touchdown.
I was kind of surprised.
You know, he is the ultimate riverboat gambler. We always talk about how he's willing to take chances and try some trick plays, some fakes and stuff like that. But, man, this season we haven't really seen it. We've seen some trick plays, but I think those have come from Mangino's play calling. It hasn't come from Rhodes. We haven't seen a fake that I remember, at least something from a punt or a kickoff, anything like that. I would have liked to have seen him just line up and say, we're going for two. I think that's what you got to do on the road. And
I have a theory on that.
I think if they go for it, they get those 2 points, there's no way Texas marches down the field and wins that game, because you've got a very young, inconsistent quarterback who you're telling him he's got to go out and win the ball game for you. And that situation where it was all tied up, it was go out there, see what you can do, see if you can get us something. If you can, great. If not, we'll go to overtime. We'll be fine. But yeah, I think it would be an entirely different situation if he had kind of the game on his shoulders where he had to lead him down there and try to win the game for him.
I will say this regarding Paul Rhodes' decision to not go for two. I do understand his point. Iowa State had momentum at that time. The one concern I would have about going for two, and I agree with you, I think I tweeted it out right when it happened too, but stacking Iowa State's offensive line up against Texas's D-line in a short yardage situation.
Sure.
They're just not a short yardage team.
Sure.
So I don't know. You know, I'm just throwing that out there. If Sam Richardson could throw a fade, which he can't do very well, you've got three really good options in Bibbs, Montgomery, and Lazard with their height. But he's not – I don't think – that's probably the biggest criticism you can make of Sam Richardson at this point is his touch on passes. You know, I mean, he's really good at that laser.
Yep.
He really struggles when you're trying to hit a guy deep, when you need any pass where you need some air under the football. So that would be the counterpoint to that. But I agree with you on Paul. We have not seen the over-aggressive style. I mean, the only thing I could think of was that onside kick against, I think, Baylor or something.
Yep.
But that was a desperation.
Yeah,
that
wasn't. Well, I think we all knew it was coming.
Yeah.
But he's almost become a little conservative.
Here's
season.
A theory, and Paul hasn't said this. Maybe this is a good story for one of us to write. You oftentimes see teams that do that are ones who clearly have a talent disadvantage. Mid-majors, you call football or non-BCS or non-Power 5, it changes every year. Non-Power 5 schools, much like Boise State in their historic win over Oklahoma in a BCS game. And that's, I think Iowa State needed that as an equalizer back in the day. I'll tell you what, like, stacking those two teams up on Saturday, Iowa State, their talent's pretty good.
Sure.
I actually think, like, that freshman and sophomore class is really good.
Yeah, and I think I actually think the Iowa State matches up better with Texas than maybe they do than Texas Tech that comes to town. But
that's
here's,
a decent point, actually, and, as far as stopping the
Yeah, and here's my thing too. You had talked about how the offense was kind of clicking right then. The thing is about that offense is it just comes and goes. You'll get two really good possessions,
yeah.
and then they'll go back to back three and outs, and you'll have drop passes, horrible passes. Sam will get sacked. Anything that can go wrong. At that exact moment, the offense was playing really well. And if you do go, you do get to overtime, you don't know what kind of offense you're going to have then. You know what you
That's
have
true.
At that exact moment. I say go for it. But, you know, I'm not a football coach. And, you know, we've talked about this before. I hate criticizing the play calling and stuff like that. But I would have – I don't think anyone would have been upset with Paul if he went for it, and even if they came up short.
I agree just with the culture that Rhodes has built around this program. I think people were like us, Tommy. I think they somewhat expected him to go for two there.
Yeah,
I mean, I was watching the game down in my basement with my father-in-law and one of my best friends, and I said that when Iowa State got the ball back. I go, he goes for two here.
Yeah,
if they
yeah.
score a touchdown, he has to.
And I think at this point I was down on the field, but I heard that Randy Peterson kind of yelled the same thing up in the press box. That he's going to go for it. And
oh, yeah.
I think before that possession started, Randy even looked at me actually and said, they score, he's going to go for two. And, you know, maybe Paul is a product of his own, you know, his own worst enemy, where we've come to expect those things. And when they don't happen, maybe we're a little too disappointed.
I'll say this. I hope he gets back to it, though.
Yeah, because so do I.
I think that's kind of, you know, I talked about the culture that he's built at Iowa State. I think that's part of what's been fun about his program.
Sure.
People showed up and they had no idea what was going to happen, you know.
And the
heck,
he'd
kick it onside on the opening kickoff, or you know what I mean? Stuff like that.
And
I mean,
the stuff with the punter, too, Colin Downing. He's had a fantastic season. But I remember going into the season, we both made a big deal about how he could kind of fill those shoes. And
yeah.
you even wrote about it. I recall that, you know, Paul and even Colin had mentioned they both thought that he was more than capable of filling Kirby Vanderkamp's shoes
was,
when it came to that.
That was part of the recruiting process.
Yeah, yeah. They loved that idea. Now, he's done a great job punting the ball. I want to see if he can handle it. I understand maybe the first three or four games you want to get his feet wet. You don't want to ask a true freshman to be – you know, punter to be pulling out all those stops, but I think at this point he's more than ready if you're going to try it.
Perhaps Rhodes is concerned that people are on to him.
Maybe.
But he hasn't shown anything this year, so there's really
exactly.
no tape on it.
And, you know, it's almost like those signature wins, so to speak. They seem
yeah.
a little distant.
What do you call in a two-point conversion if you're Iowa State? I'm just thinking about this out loud. What's the best play to get 3 yards if you're Iowa State?
Something for Bibbs.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, the fade's probably not working.
Yeah, my whole concern is just Sam. I like Sam as a quarterback. He was a good quarterback. He was an okay quarterback. I think now he's a good quarterback, but I think now he's a great leader.
Maybe it's something he runs in.
Yeah, because I don't trust Sam. I don't trust Sam with a 3 yard pass. I'm sorry.
It's almost like you trust him more to run it for 3 yards.
Yeah, I do. I trust
to throw
it. And I also trust Sam more with like a 15-yard pass than I do a 5-yard pass.
Yeah.
Sam more with the 15-yard pass than I do a 30-yard pass.
See,
because that's his strength. And I think all quarterbacks make different throws better than others. And Sam's really – you know that Meyer to Blythe
yeah.
fade that we used to always watch? Yeah. He can't make that throw
yeah.
consistently.
And that to me, that's kind of a glaring problem when you have – two really big wide receivers
in
like
Bibbs,
DeVario Montgomery, Alan Lazard, and you know those are guys you can almost toss it up there and let them make those plays. And for some reason, Sam just doesn't have kind of that touch you had talked about before.
I tell you what, though, Sam, like I just mentioned, I heard Paul talking about it in the Cyclone Radio Network post game show. About how he's become a leader. Mm-hmm. And that's very clear. And the reason I wanted to point that out because he throws that pick six in the second quarter, I believe.
I believe so, yeah.
He throws the pick six because at that point I was like streaming on like that first row sports or whatever. I had it hooked up to my projector. It was the weirdest thing ever. And I did not get a virus, so that's good. But he throws the pick six, and I'm like, oh, man, wheels are going to fall off now. Yeah. And I was already impressed that they had already come back the way they had. And you know what? That son of a gun comes back out. He had the eye of the tiger, man.
Yeah, and
he
that's
like
what,
Brett Favre out there.
Yeah, and that's what Ben Brunt said on the sideline, too, during the game, is that he saw that look in Sam's eyes where he wanted the ball back right away. And I think Paul said that after the game, too. He didn't let that play get him down. He wanted to go back out right away. For some young guys, and you know, Sam's definitely not a young guy, for a lot of guys, they maybe want to take a little bit of a breather before going back out there once you've been hit. But he wanted it, and he came out and really responded.
That was the most impressive part of the game. It wasn't the fact that they scored points. It was just the fact when they got down 14-0,
yeah,
that crowd, I assume, was going pretty good.
I thought the game was going to be done right there, because on that next position, if Iowa State didn't score there when they were down 14-0, I think that game's done with right there.
What's your take on the defense? Because this all week long, we built this up to be a low-scoring matchup, take the under, all that stuff. Turns out to be a shootout, one of the more fun games I think we'll see in the Big 12 this season. The defense gives up over 500 yards, yet they still forced two turnovers, critical ones at that, both of which was a 14-point swing, really, because I'm assuming they would have gotten in the end zone if Tribune hadn't picked off the pass. Jevin Miller, obviously, with the fumble recovery for a touchdown. I'm okay with the defense. Yep. Granted, you don't want to give up that many points, but at the same time, Texas really only scored 38. But the same token, at least they're turning other teams over now, which is what they were lacking early. I would take that compared to what we saw a month and a half ago.
The problem last year was that bend but don't break mentality, because they ended up breaking. Right now they're not breaking. They're keeping them in games. And the problem right now with this team is that the defense is playing well at times, but then the offense isn't
playing
well.
They're just not matching up.
Yeah. And in this case, we saw the offense play extremely well against probably the best defense that they'll face all season. I mean, there's probably nobody that thought they were going to put up that many points.
Nobody. And like I say, Tommy, before the game, if I tell you Iowa State scores 45 points.
Yeah, I think they win that game.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And I would have thought if they scored 25 points, they would have won that game.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah. So... it's like you said, they're just not matching up right now, and that's what you kind of hope for at the end of the season now, with as you reach kind of that second half of the schedule, is that they can somehow find a way to all get on the same page, because when they do, it's a very good football team. But right now, it's just an extremely inconsistent football team.
So we've seen, though, the offense produce 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. I think they're finally starting.
So my point is this a – are they a one-hit wonder, or can we expect this?
No, I think this is it. I think this is what you're going to get.
It's the show?
I think –
the greatest show on Trice?
On Trice, yeah. I think what you saw last Saturday is what this football team is. It's not a great defense. It's not a bad defense. It's going to keep you in games. You've got potentially a really good offense. I mean, I think what we saw Saturday is what we all expected out of this team the entire season. So, you know, they all look like they're starting to get on the same page in terms of the offense, where they're kind of figuring out what everybody can do. And finally, the offensive line was playing really well. I mean, we all talk about Aaron Wimberly having such a great game, but those were some gigantic holes that that line was opening up that you or I probably could have gotten 3 or 4 yards off of.
Yeah. Well, and Wimberly, though, he looked like a totally different guy. He had that burst. He made some guys miss.
And I don't know what it is. You know, last year he had a great game against Texas, and this year maybe there's just something about
he's a better back than people. I truly think that he's a better back when there's some holes.
Yeah.
Than Devondrick Neely is.
But he can't make those
Correct.
Holes. That's Devondrick Neely's
yeah,
game.
Yeah, so when the O-line is doing who would have thought that there would be that many holes against Texas?
Yeah, that's the thing too.
It's just a weird game.
So you know, we're kind of talking about the offense. Is this what we're going to see for the remainder of the year? Well, I think that kind of depends on the line right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right now, the line just hasn't done enough to make me say, yes, they're fine. They're great. Everything's going to be fine, great the rest of the way. They've just been too inconsistent. I think we've said it a lot of times here that I think they've done a great job of protecting Sam, at least compared to last season.
He's been fine, yeah.
Yeah, but in terms of giving the running game anything to do, just nothing there. But if they can keep doing what they're doing, this is a 38-point offense, maybe the rest of the way.
Oklahoma's up next.
Yeah.
I think I read a stat. Bob Stoops is like 31-0 after losses.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? Have you seen that?
I've seen that, yeah, and it makes sense.
And then Iowa State's only beaten Oklahoma like twice in history.
Yeah.
That's not good.
That's really not, but...
That's why this Texas game was so darn important.
You know,
and the only way you get to a bowl is by winning that game.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say right now, because you went from, if you really want to have the bowl conversation talk, you went from maybe having to pull one rabbit out of your hat to get there to now two, and, now the real winnable games on your schedule are Kansas and Texas Tech, and that gets you to four. I don't know if there's two more out
Big
there.
Big 12's a lot better than I thought it would be. I was wrong.
Yeah, it is. I mean, West Virginia and Texas Christian have really surprised people.
Who saw that coming?
We knew what Baylor was going to be. I think Kansas State we all thought was going to be good, but I don't think this good. I mean, holy smokes, they could be undefeated right now.
They should be.
Damn kicker.
Yeah, the kicker that missed three field goals at home. And that's the difference. How sweet would it be for old man Wild Bill Snyder to be in the college football
the
playoff?
The Taco Johns, yes. Or is it Taco Bell?
I believe Taco Bell.
Yeah, Bloom sent me that.
It's a great piece of journalism, is it not?
The picture of Bill Snyder with that story, I feel like they could not have found a better one to go with the story.
Just
because
breathtaking.
His hair is just like in the air. It's kind of like... when I get done eating Taco Bell, just a complete mess of a human
being.
If you
go to the Iowa Clinic Men's Center for your physical, they may tell you to tone down on the Taco Bell.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, why do you think I've been delaying this?
Didn't you tell me that you were walking around before the game a couple weeks ago and a bunch of people were hounding you about your physical?
I am. I saw on Twitter somebody asked you what was going down.
Well, I mean, people, frankly, Tommy, are tired of you coming on here and lying. I mean, they want to know that they can trust the journalists that cover their Cyclones, and I don't know if people can trust you right now.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I've burnt them too much, and I will come through this week.
Lucky bamboo for you.
I know. And I feel like I should apologize to who is it, the guy that wanted more Bruns and Woody.
Oh, yeah.
So I came back on.
He was distraught with your performance on the podcast. He was not pleased.
But they came back on and said, maybe I was a little harsh. I feel bad that, we let off with that. We hit him hard.
Yeah.
He sounds like a great man.
I'm sure he is. He just, he's not a fan of you, apparently. He's softened up.
He's not the last.
All right. No, for real, you can't help, but I think I have mixed emotions to wrap up that game. I think that it's encouraging. Maybe I'm wrong for doing this. Paul Rhodes probably wouldn't appreciate it. I'm already looking ahead to 2015.
Yeah.
And that's what the rest of this season is about, building for 2015, because I don't think they'll beat Oklahoma. And I think they can win some of those. I think they'll surprise you against a West Virginia or a TCU.
They'll be in there. They aren't going to win those games.
They're going to upset somebody.
I don't think so.
They will.
I feel like those upsets.
They'll beat Kansas. That's a tougher game than people think. But they'll beat Kansas. They'll beat Texas Tech, and they'll upset somebody if it's Oklahoma, West Virginia, or TCU.
Wow.
I don't think it's Oklahoma, though. I'm sorry. I'm too much of a numbers and what they tell me and tells me that ain't happening.
If they do, man, okay, so that puts them at five wins. You get to five wins.
They're 5-7 at the end of the year.
That more than exceeds expectations. And I'll say it right now. I think this team has already exceeded my expectations because I had them pegged for 3-4 wins.
I had them at 4-5. So.
Yeah. Total. And right now, they should already be at four wins. They're going to get to four wins, I think. But to even say that they were in those games, the Texas game, the K-State game, where you can look back and say they should have won those games or could have won those games, and you've got what you have right now, I would be pleasantly surprised and happy if I were an Iowa State football fan.
You'd be happy with 2-5.
No. I'm saying if you you still have to get those two more wins.
Oh yeah. I got you. I completely understand.
You smell what I'm cooking.
I smell what you're cooking. I want to talk about just briefly. I don't want to make too much time on this, but that Cyclones TV deal.
Sure.
That happened on Saturday night. So they, according to Jamie Pollard, it was a deal where they really wanted to grow, you know, continue to grow the brand of Cyclones TV. They have an opportunity to get a Big 12 game on there. And I think by all means it worked. I don't know any numbers, but I would guess their subscriptions took a huge, you know, turn for the better.
Sure.
Leading up to that game. The first half was not on due to technical difficulties. Now, it sounds to me like it wasn't anything in Ames. It wasn't even in the Longhorn Network. It was the transmitter in, like, Atlanta.
Atlanta. It was getting there, but wasn't getting back to
Correct.
Ames.
And it was. So it's not like anybody who works at Iowa State was at fault here, you know, on the surface.
Sure.
Again, it's been hashed out. I'm not going to kick those guys when they're down because they have a really hard job, and I know how badly the Cyclones TV crew felt. But what was your take on this? The only take I had was I felt like somebody should have tweeted or something, hey, a progress report, because you had a lot of people, thousands of people, who were completely in the dark and had no clue what was going on.
Yeah, that was a gigantic problem right there. I think more than anything, people understand that mistakes are going to happen, but there was a massive communication breakdown in what was taking place. Was it going to get fixed, and all that type of stuff? I think they needed to be a little bit more vocal about what was going on, because the biggest question people were having, or at least sending to me on Twitter and stuff like that, was not what was going wrong. Was it being worked on? Was it going to get fixed? And nobody could give me that answer. Nobody seemed to know what was going on. And if you're a fan that's investing, you know, some money in that, the last thing you want to know is, we don't know. You want answers. And, you know, it's very disappointing because, you know, you have two guys, Brent Bloom and Sage Rosenfels. It's a huge opportunity for them in that game. And from everything I watched in the second half briefly, they did a phenomenal job. I know a lot of people
were really
looking forward just to hearing them.
They
too.
Did a very nice job. I'm not saying that just because Bloom and I are buddies.
Yeah, sure.
I'm telling you, though, Bloom, and I tweeted this, he is, if you watch a lot of college, like if you watch – like those Tuesday night MAC games.
Yeah.
Not even that. Like, watch a game on Fox Sports 1 that's not like a premier game. Bloom is, I'll bet you anything, Bloom's better than the guy doing play-by-play.
Oh, yeah, without question. I've always thought he was a, you know, phenomenal up-and-coming broadcaster.
Take the amount of talent that you and I have just at anything in life, times it by like four, and you might get Bloom.
Broadcasting?
Yeah.
Or just Bloom in general?
Just Bloom in general.
Yeah, yeah. He is a smart guy.
I'm not just kissing his butt. Like, I mean...
Well, we can do that.
I'll say this, and then I'll make fun of him, too, when he goes. This is kind of how... But I mean that sincerely.
Yeah.
Like, he is better than 50% of the people you see calling games on TV.
And the great thing, this is one thing I'm really happy about, is I've heard that on the replay, they at least got Sage and Bloom's broadcast up, so now if you watch the replay, you can get the first half, and that's great for those guys to, you know, I think a lot of, you know, I don't know the broadcasting part of the business as well, but I'm sure there are a lot of people that probably would have said, let's just watch the game, maybe not broadcast, but those guys kept doing it.
Yep.
I don't know how in the loop they were about what was going on. It sounded like maybe they were getting some kind of word, but didn't know exactly what was going on.
Well, in their position, you have to keep going, because at any time that
could just
start
pop
working.
Up. Yeah,
yeah.
And I, you know, I could see them in the box next to me. That's one thing I was taken away with, is, you know, even though nobody was able to hear what they were doing, they were still calling it like everybody back in Ames was still listening.
Yeah, it's practice. It's like riding a bike. It's not really like riding a bike. It's just the opposite, but you get better at it every time. You know what I mean? Every time you do a podcast, every time you write a story, it's like I love these kids who want to be writers, but they don't ever practice writing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know about you, but I used to write in a journal every single day. You have to practice what you're good at, and those guys just kept going. I love that.
Yeah, and I think I would love to see them get more opportunities and more chances to do it because we've talked about how great Brent is, and he brings a tremendous amount of a wealth of knowledge and history when it comes to Iowa State sports. Besides you, I don't know if there's anybody that knows Iowa State sports, at least the history behind it, more than Bloom does.
He knows a lot more than I do.
But Sage, the things that Sage brings in terms of experience and stories and stuff like that, you know, I was talking to him before the game. I mean, just so many little things. Like, it was funny. He stayed Thursday night in Austin with Ricky Williams. You know, how crazy is that?
That is crazy.
There's just so many great stories that I'm sure Sage, if he did television every week, for the rest of his life, I'm sure you would get a good story, at least one good story or at least one little nugget in there every game.
No question. He'll be calling NFL games.
Yeah.
Before too long.
Maybe Bloom will too.
I hope so. And then we can say he used to be on the podcast with us. He used to write columns for us. And Bloom will get all big time and forget that we ever even existed. Tommy.
He will. I feel like he will.
Bloom's one of those guys that will just shun us.
I texted
start driving around
him.
Sports cars. And
get this. I texted him at the stadium. I was going to stop by and say, hey, thanks for your help. Good luck tonight.
He snub you?
Texted him like, hey, when do you get to the stadium? Didn't hear back. I did see him. I bumped into him in the hallway and said, thank you, good luck. But I never got a text back that
night. I guess
it's
not surprising. Bloom's already falling into that trap.
Whatever. He's dead to me.
Yeah. Screw Bloom. Iowa Clinic Men's Center podcast. Hey, Paul Rhodes had a teleconference today. Did not have a press conference. I guess he gave some injury updates. I was listening to it. I didn't really tweet much. But basically, Jarvis West just can't stay healthy. If he even gets sneezed on anymore, he gets hurt. I feel really bad for him. He's one of the most explosive players on the team. It's his senior season. So he'll be back in 2 weeks, though, according to Rhodes, right?
He said he hopes he'll be back. There was he really left. He left the door open that maybe he wouldn't be back.
Brandon Jensen, Robbie Garcia, everything good?
It sounds like Garcia's kind of day-to-day, and I think Jensen came back.
He did come back, yeah, but didn't play a ton.
Yeah, so I think those guys will be back. I don't know, maybe it was the way Rhodes said it, but I almost got that feeling that he was kind of bracing for worst-case scenario with Jarvis West.
Jeez, that's
that is tough because, man, he... you look at the last two seasons, and
so
he has just done some phenomenal things.
He just can't stay healthy.
Yeah, think about how great of a season he was having last year.
I feel terrible for him.
Yeah.
And he's such a soft-spoken, nice kid.
Yeah.
You just really want him to break out of that, that shell and just stay healthy. We've never seen him stay healthy in his entire career. And
so
it started his true freshman year. They wanted to play him.
Yep.
He pulled a hammy or something. I mean, I feel bad for him. Those are one of the guys you kind of root for.
Yep.
In Jarvis West.
And then that's been the story of this team. So many injuries. And, obviously to me, none of them are preventable things that you go back and say, well, we could have done this in practice or yada, da, da, da. It's just a lot of freak stuff that, the sad thing is when you're Iowa State and you're probably never going to have you're never going to have that amount of depth that a place like Baylor and Oklahoma does, where when they do suffer those injuries, those guys like Tom Farniok that go down for them or their Jarvis West, they can just plop somebody right in and, move it right along. Iowa State can't do that.
Sounds a lot like my Minnesota Vikings. Did you see the end of that game yesterday?
I didn't see the end of it, and I'm a Vikings fan, too. I came
Did
home,
you hear
I
about
got
it?
Like an hour of sleep, and just hit the bed, grabbed the dog, told him not to pee on me, and went to sleep.
That's what my wife does to me
every
night.
I heard a little bit about the
end of it. Here, this will explain it to you. If you watch, you watch Iowa State, right?
Yeah.
Same thing, just a much less exciting game on an amateur level, losing the last second.
Well,
for real. Buffalo, the Kyle Orton, your boy.
And he got rid of his mustache and beard.
Correct. The hairless Kyle Orton, with his top two running backs both out, had a 4th and 20 on his own, like 40. 4th and 20. The Vikings, of course, give up to another Iowa tie, Scott Chandler, former Hawkeye. They convert on 4th and 24.
This is like
go
your
down
worst
there,
nightmare.
Score a touchdown with 1 second to go.
Yep.
It was awful, Tommy. Just horrible. I joked on Twitter, but no, really. I was projectile vomiting all night long.
How funny is it that Kyle Warren can beat all his team? You know, in the past, he's beat the Patriots, but he could never beat Dowling when he was in high school.
Did you cover him?
Or
was
no,
that too late?
I think he was still...
Well, he's been in the league like 10 years.
Yeah,
geez, where is my sense of time?
We may have been at high school at the overlapped a little bit because
Where'd
I
you go to high school?
Dowling. That's why
so
I tossed in that
now long. Now you're just boasting it, Kyle Orton.
I remember I did see him at a party once in high school where, like, that's that kid that's going to Purdue.
Yeah, he was pretty good. He's had
really
a nice
good.
Career.
He's had a good nice slinger. Career. And he
really annoyed me yesterday, though.
He really loves himself a Jack and Coke.
You know,
you've seen the photos, right?
No, I don't think I'm
good. You got Google, Kyle Orton, Jack and Coke. I think, what was it, maybe 8 years ago when he was quarterbacking the Bears, they had a bye week. He went back to Iowa City, got himself a Jack and Coke or 10, and just let loose, which
so
I would have
a good
exact
time.
Same thing.
You're a Royals. Are you a Royals supporter this postseason?
No.
What?
I'm absolutely not.
Why? How can you hate David?
I don't hate. I don't hate David, but man,
how do you not root for the? You have to be a bad human being.
All
you're a freaking Twins fan.
I know you said you're a Royals fan. Besides you, Michael Admire.
Oh,
wait a second. You're a Braves fan.
I have a. I'm glad that I can explain this.
Yeah.
So I grew up an hour and a half from Kansas City. Went to Royals games when I was a little kid. The same time, they were horrible.
Yeah.
Braves were on TBS. I feel like at that point with the – I couldn't watch the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
You live an hour and a half from there. Couldn't watch them. So what I'd do every night when I was a little kid, I'd listen to the Royals on KMA Radio,
okay,
where I used to work, and I'd watch the Braves. So – now, if the two were playing, I would absolutely root for the Atlanta Braves.
Sure.
That would be – but I would say I'm like a 60-40 type fan, as far as my heart goes. But I love them both. And I don't even feel ashamed saying that because every year my wife and I, we go down to 2 or 3 Royals games. Doesn't matter if they're good, first place, last place.
Okay,
here's
there.
The thing
I respect you then for that statement here. Because for a little while I was getting that bandwagon type feeling for me, but I don't get it now.
I've got Royals
now.
Ball caps up there that are 20 years old.
Like, see, okay,
just,
so
I had them when I was a kid. Yeah, I just
besides you, admire
Logue and I. Logue could attest for me because the last 5 years, every time I'm around Andrew Logue at the Des Moines Red, all we talk about is the Royals.
Logue and their, Logue sits like 2 seats down from me at the register.
Yeah.
And right across from him is another Royals fan. And these two are the most talkative human beings in my life.
Yeah. Andrew Logue will talk to anybody.
And they will talk for 2 hours nonstop. Royals.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's a little bit where my unhappiness is coming from. But
it's all about Andrew Logue.
Yeah.
You want him to lose for Andrew Logue. So when I was...
There are a couple ICUP connections there. So, you know.
Like front office workers? Or
Casey Coleman, who played for the ICUPs for a long time,
yep.
Is in the bullpen. I don't know if he's on the postseason roster.
I don't believe he is. So when I worked down at KMA, though, we had 2 stations, an FM and an AM. One was the Cardinals, one was the Royals. They would send me to spring training to do shows.
Sure.
For each. So when I was with the Royals, you know, they weren't giving me Zach Greinke. They were giving me these minor leaguers, guys like Eric Hosmer.
That's awesome.
Billy Butler.
Moustakas.
So that's where I actually have a tape of me interviewing these guys all when I'm, you know, I was, 25 at that time. And they were all pups, man. They were just like out of high school. So this has been cool for me. And it just to see Hosmer, you know, on the stage that he's at, Alex Gordon, he wasn't even a Kansas City Royal at that. He was an Omaha Royal at that time. That's been fun. And I think it's interesting just the way they've done it from a baseball standpoint, because really none of those guys that I've named off other than Alex Gordon have really panned out to be what they thought they would be. Like Luke Hochhaver, remember him? He was the top pick, pitcher. He's not even playing. He blew out his arm.
There are some fantastic stories, you know, you talk about Alex Gordon and kind of the ups and downs he's been through. Another story I really love is Finnegan, the reliever, first-round draft pick who was in the College World Series this year. And now he is, you know, he's going to the World Series. And, I mean, so I guess if I had to pick, I'll pick the Royals.
Crap all over the little man. Seems like you.
Or
surprised you mighty folks at the Des Moines Register would agree to come on Little Old Cyclone Fanatics podcast.
You know I love you with all my heart and soul.
Right back at you, brother. Who's your pick, though? I need an honest. I don't care about who you're rooting for. Who's your pick?
You know, Kansas City is just playing so hot right now. Yeah, I go with them.
I feel like the layoff hurts them.
Yeah, but I think they win in 5 games. I think it'll be a quick series.
In 5?
Yeah.
Well, they haven't lost yet.
I could see them almost sweeping, too.
How awesome of a story would that be if they didn't lose a game in the playoffs? They'd win the World Series and still haven't lost a game in the playoffs since 1985.
I kind of do want to see them lose a game, just so if they do win it, I guess it would be kind of cool to see them clinch at Kansas City.
Yeah. Well, that'd be just asinine what would be going on down at the Power and Light.
And see, I looked, what was it, the night they clinched, you were there with Travis Hines from the
Tribune.
I kept looking for you guys on TV the entire time.
We were sitting out on the left field line. We had really good seats of Alex Gordon and all those incredible plays he made last Wednesday. That was a fun day, because Big 12 Media Day for basketball is like my favorite event of the year.
Sure.
I love it. Talked to Scott Drew. That was nice. Lon Kruger gave me a hand pound. That was cool. Not really. But I did talk to Scott Drew. We got coffee together. We were both at the coffee machine. Wow. Had a nice chat.
You and the people at Baylor are just...
My heart hurts today for our Bryles.
Why?
But tough loss.
Oh, yeah.
It really...
He's going to be fine. I mean,
it hurts me, Tommy. I mean, I've had a lot of diarrhea of the mouth talking about Baylor season.
Let's talk about this. How crazy could it be if we have like a 3 or 4 way tie atop of the Big 12? You know, four teams with one loss.
It sucks because
have a championship game.
I agree with you. The whole one true champion thing is great. I like the concept of it. It really does make me interested in, you know, in the past, like when Iowa State wasn't playing Texas A&M, it's like, well, it didn't feel like they were in the same conference. It felt like they were just kind of cousins other than brothers.
Sure.
This makes me care. I think this has accomplished that, but they do need the championship game. I think in their defense, or their answer would be like, well, we're already playing each other. It's already hard enough, yada, yada, yada. But I guess I'm of the sense where, same with the television network thing, I get the Longhorn Network. It's the reason the Big 12 is what it is. I understand. But when I look around and I see everybody doing one thing and I see you doing another,
sure.
A lot of times I think, okay, it's probably a you problem. And when I'm looking at the championship game thing, that's kind of what I see. I like the night. Who gives a damn if Oklahoma and Texas have to play 2 times in 1 year? I just don't understand.
I would love to see that.
And you know the NCAA, now with the playoff thing the way it is, there's no way they're going to not let them do it.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. If anything, why wouldn't they want that to even the playing field?
All I can think about once you hit on the Longhorn Network, I don't know, maybe it was the way you said it, but their sideline reporter who replaced Samantha Ponder, holy smokes. That is just like a turning ground of factory of fantastic job there at the Longhorn Network.
Well, I mean, and you live in Austin, Texas. It's not like saying, hey, we need you up in Boise, all right?
Saw Matthew McConaughey this weekend.
Yeah, I heard Bobby Legesse was like obsessed with Matthew McConaughey on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, he's
a badass. What do you think of those Lincoln commercials?
they're really awesome. You know, and everybody wants to talk about McConaughey, too. I think my big thrill of the weekend was meeting Bevo.
What about Trey Scott?
Trey Scott saw him.
Everybody talks about McConaughey. I want to talk about Trey Scott. Zach Spears,
yep.
Texas friend.
I did not see Trey and Zach friends.
I meant my Texas friends. I don't think Trey and Zach are friends based off of their Twitter squabble. But
I saw Trey. We hugged. did not come out Friday night. And
what do you mean he didn't come out Friday night?
He was I don't know what he was doing. He was coming back from some travel. So I was with Randy for a little bit, and then Bobby met up with my good friend Casey Powell, college friend. She came and showed us the ropes, and oh man, Austin.
Sounds like I missed a whale of a time.
You did. It was.
I don't even know what I did on Friday night, but I'm sure it wasn't fun. It was something with my wife. No offense, honey.
We went to a lot of cool places, and I maybe got Ebola.
If you brought Ebola, oh, I'd be. All right, let's do the Big 12 look ahead.
Sure.
Because this is the last podcast we will have on Fanatic due to my needing to get crap done around my house that never gets done because it's football season.
Yeah.
Before basketball season starts. That's what we'll call the next 2 days. Texas Tech is at TC. We'll have another podcast until Thursday.
Yeah.
What I was saying. And then we will have a new one on Friday. We're going to start having a daily Friday podcast. I'll have more information on that in the coming days. Everybody. Texas Tech is at TCU. -21, Texas Christian is favored. That seems right.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But I think Texas Christian, I would take Texas Christian to cover.
Yeah, I would.
Based off of how they're playing.
They are, oh man, they're a lot of fun to watch right now.
Boykin's
a stud. Did you hear the comparison that Boykin got? I forget who it was. Maybe it was, I forget who, one of the coaches in the Big 12 teleconference today compared him to Cam Newton.
Wow.
Which seems, it's really not that bad of a comparison.
Isn't
he? Huh?
Height-wise?
Yeah,
he
probably.
Doesn't look like him.
No, but I think playing style, run, gun.
Yeah, no, I get it. Boykin's a stud. I remember we all had that talk after watching him in his debut against Iowa State. That's a kid who, if he goes on the right track, could be a Heisman player at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
He's clearly proving that at this point. Go ahead.
My thing is, why is Jake Waters not even jumping into the Heisman at least conversation? I don't think he's a front runner.
It's classic Kansas State always gets overlooked. But they get overlooked in their own league, let alone nationally.
I think he should at least be in the discussion. I think he's a top 10 college football
player.
Here's
a better question. Why do we, the media, always underestimate Kansas State?
Because they're in Manhattan, they're led by a crazy taco eating coach. You know,
I mean,
I don't know. I think
wherever they're at in the preseason poll, slot them three spots ahead.
Look, it's just like the Iowa State basketball team.
It is. It's very much a lot like that.
You're in Ames. You're in Manhattan. You're not
on
that
national
map.
So there's always newcomers, and that's what we go by a lot. West Virginia is at Oklahoma State. 2.5 points. Vegas is giving Oklahoma State.
I would not take Oklahoma State there.
I would take West Virginia there.
Me too.
Even on the road. Texas is at Kansas State. Kansas State's a 10-point favorite. You saw him in person, the Swoops kid.
Yeah. Night and day compared to what I had seen on TV before.
He's pretty damn good right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still clearly decision-making is a bit of an issue, but his raw talent is finally starting to come out.
That was definitely his coming out party, and you kind of wonder.
He had 344 against Oklahoma, so this is a steady progression we're seeing now.
Yeah, but that last drive is a game changer. Who knows what it could do for him right now. I mean, he took that team and carried them and did some pretty crazy stuff right there. And you talk about what a great defense that is. If that offense can just do a little bit more than it's been doing, holy smokes, that's a phenomenal Texas team. It won't take Charlie Strong to get them back to where they need to be.
After seeing them live, how many wins do they end up with?
This season?
Yeah.
I'll
read you their schedule.
Yeah, do that for me.
They've got, right now, they're 3-4.
Okay.
At Kansas State?
No.
At Texas Tech?
Yes.
West Virginia at home?
No.
Interesting. I like Texas in that game. At Oklahoma State?
I take them there.
TCU at home.
Boy, I've got two more.
That, what a brutal schedule yeah. Texas plays.
Yeah, I've got two more.
This might be a tougher. This is a tougher schedule than Iowa State.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, their three non-cons are North Texas, yeah, but BYU and UCLA.
Yeah, those are tough.
They're both better than Iowa and Toledo,
mm-hmm.
and then the Big 12. That might be the best schedule in the country.
Yeah.
Top to bottom.
Yeah, I think the, was it five wins for him?
Auburn has a really tough schedule. Did you see Auburn's schedule? It'll make you sick.
Yeah.
If you're Gus Malzahn. I don't know. They're getting to a bowl game. I'll guarantee you that.
You think they get six
yep.
wins? I don't know.
By the way, man. Their offense is coming around. Absolutely.
Who else is Charlie Strong going to kick off the team this week?
I don't know. They're getting to a bowl game.
Okay.
Uh-huh. That's an absolute. They need three, so they're getting Texas Tech.
I only see two. And I could technically see maybe one there.
Well, that doesn't bode well for Iowa State.
No, but
they're going to
be. Does.
They'll win. Oh, man. It's brutal. It's impossible. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go off of what I think the lines will be alone.
Kay.
What games will they be favored in? We know they're not at Kansas State. They will be favored. They will be slight favorites at Texas Tech, close to a pick, like a 1-point favorite, 2-point favorite. West Virginia at home.
That might be a you pick 'em.
That's a pick 'em, is what I would say, yeah. Because West Virginia is a lot like Baylor in the sense that they're not a traditionally great road team. And I like how Texas matched up with Baylor. West Virginia is a similar offense. Texas will press them, be really physical with that group. And West Virginia's defense is not as good as Baylor's. I like Texas to beat West Virginia on November 8th.
Okay. That gets them to a bowl then.
Yep. At Oklahoma State. No. Yeah, they only need two.
Yeah.
They're going to a bowl.
Okay.
At Oklahoma State is a toss-up, I think. Oklahoma State's probably a slight favorite.
I was thinking they beat Oklahoma State.
Okay, so then that would put them at 7 if that would happen, and then they'll lose to TCU on Thanksgiving.
Wow. That's a phenomenal first year for
no, it's not.
C. Strong.
He coaches at Texas.
So?
A phenomenal first year is 11-1.
Yeah.
Not 7-5 or 6-6.
I love what he's doing there. I think he's a great.
I do too, but I still think he's going to get fired in a couple years.
Yeah, I could see him being there 3 or 4 years, and then they'll bring Paul in.
You know what? 3 years ago,
that
was
the
very
name.
Realistic.
That was the
I don't see it. There's no way they could sell that to their oil people now.
No.
All right, Tommy, you've got a busy day at the Des Moines Register. You need to get to work.
So well,
you have to like clock in. When you go to the Des Moines Register, do you have to like punch a ticket?
No, but I've got that key card that I always use to let you in. I usually forget that, so sometimes I have to call somebody to let me in. There's no clocking in. It's kind of like the honor code, which is kind of ironic since you basically have called me a liar.
Well, I'm just saying you've been telling people for months now that you're going to go get your physical at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, and you've straight lied to everybody.
You know, my wife was with me for a little bit yesterday, and she asked me, you know, what's on my plate this week, and I said, "Gotta get a damn physical," and she was like, "Why?"
Like, your wife doesn't believe in physicals at the
Men's Center? I think she was surprised because we're talking like I need to go to the dentist. I hate that crap too.
Don't you have it automatically scheduled out where they call you like every 6 months to go to the dentist?
I did, but I quit going. So,
what'd you do that for?
I hate the dentist. It's
Tommy,
terrifying.
You need to take care of yourself.
I know. So she was a little shocked when I said, "Yeah, I've got this thing." The Fanatics,
but then
Williams.
Chris is going to take me out for Lucky Bamboo.
Well, once I said that you had told me you would give me Lucky Bamboo, then it kind of added up.
Then she
up
got
to
it.
Her.
She's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But she still hasn't listened to the podcast.
Well, it's probably good considering you brought up her breasts last
breasts,
week.
We did that. We talked to ex-girlfriend who I almost married once.
From Bondurant, right?
Yeah. We've hit on a whole range of inappropriate topics that would most people would deem divorceable.
Well, we have we've hit on a full range of topics today in the podcast.
Cool.
It's kind of fun talking a little bit other than just Iowa State. So Thank you, my friend.
Thank
and
you.
And we'll chat with you next week.
Cool.
No scuttlebutt. We're both off.
Yeah.
So don't go looking. Don't go breaking the Des Moines Register server in an attempt to find the Cyclone scuttlebutt.
No, you should. We could use the hits.
Oh, okay. Go ahead and just do it on Tommy's behalf. He's Tommy Birch from the Des Moines Register. Thanks to the Iowa Clinic Men's Center for their sponsorship, as always, of this podcast. Rob's got some stuff coming up. I know he's at Wrestling Media Day. He'll do a little preview for the Iowa State wrestling season. And lots more coming up this week at CycloneFanatic.com. My name's Chris Williams. So long for Tommy Birch. Take care.